Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. He bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. So right off we find out Simon, and Simon, you know, is a common name in that time, and so we have to make sure we differentiate, but he is differentiated here as the sorcerer or the magician. He used magic, and he was a self-promoter. How many of you know a self-promoter? All right, ego, narcissism, I mean, just inflated ego. He has a big fan base. By the way, got a lot of followers. You know, his Instagram had a lot. Do you have followers on Instagram, I guess? He was big. Like, people followed him. And in verse number 10, they all gave heed. He put himself out that he was some great one. And you know what? They believed it. And they saw him, look at what it says, saying, "This man is the great power of God." They saw him as the hand of God, as a representative from heaven. And verse number 11, to him they had regard. They looked to him as a leader and an influencer. They wanted to know his opinion. They wanted to know what direction they should go in life. Because of a long time, he had bewitched them with sorcery. The people saw him as the power of God. Why? Number one, the gospel had not reached them. It's so important to understand the time frame in which we're talking about. The gospel had not reached them yet. Our greatest opportunity to influence people and to help them is to give them Jesus. We could go through the list of things that people are bewitched by today. And the greatest thing we could do, that anyone could do for them, is give them a clear presentation of the gospel. How does one go to heaven? Simple answer that a kid would give you: gotta die. All right? He's right. How do we get to heaven? How do I have the assurance that I'm going to heaven? Because I know I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. And I, understanding those things, call out to God from my heart to God and say, "God, forgive my sins. I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior." Done. Done. Pastor, you've simplified it. No, I didn't simplify it. Jesus did. When he died on the cross and rose from the grave. And that wasn't easy, but he made it easy for us. And there's no baptism, church membership, offerings. There's nothing else. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you know why people don't get a clear presentation of the gospel? Because people want to tack on a whole bunch of their opinion. And God doesn't need our opinion. He just needs us to promote his word and to share his word. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's it. Was there something about signing up for the church picnic? Nothing. There's nothing else required. But people need the clear presentation of the gospel, and usually what they get is, "Come to church with me. Hey, we're having something at church. Why don't you come with me?" You know what they need? "Hey, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Savior? You want to know how I'm getting to heaven? You want to know how I got saved?" Just give them the gospel where they are. You don't have to get them in this building to get them saved. Get them saved at the office. Get them saved in the marketplace. Get them saved in the neighborhood. Wherever you are, get them saved there. Don't drag them in here to get them saved. Now look, I'm all for people coming to church. But what they need is Jesus. Let's take Jesus to them. Jesus can do more for them than anyone or anything. Let me go back to Simon. You know, here's the thing about Simon. Simon knew he was a fraud. Right? He knew that what he was doing was sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors. It was tricks. It was deception. He knew that. He knew that he was nobody, but he promoted himself as somebody. He was living a lie. It was a house of cards, as they say. But you know, that sounds to me like a lot of prosperity preachers. Doesn't it sound like prosperity preaching to you? Praying with an E. Praying on people's faith and on their hope. Also full of ego and self-promotion, right? Sound familiar? That's how it is. And people get entrenched in the deception. And that's what happened here. They were entrenched in the deception of Simon. They were following Simon. They didn't know any better. And he was the best they could find, so they followed him. And with all of his tricks, they fell for it. And nobody wants to admit they were gullible. And so they just stayed with it, and they hung in there. And what happened? Some preacher came along and ruined it all for him. Not really. Look at what it says in verse number 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Along comes Philip, and Philip was a deacon and an evangelist. And he came along and he preached. And what did he preach? If you go back up to verse number 5, it says he preached Christ unto them. What did he preach? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isn't that wonderful to know? The message is Jesus. All through the Bible, all through especially the New Testament, we see Jesus, Jesus. And how do I get saved? Jesus. Remember the Philippian jailer? Sir, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, that's the answer. Putting our trust in Christ, putting our confidence in him. Philip came preaching, the Son of God, who God sent to die for our sins with the promise of God's personal presence. How many of you woke up this morning in God's presence? Everybody raise your hand, because he was there. He was there. And the promise of eternal, everlasting life. They believed and were baptized. They didn't wait and say, well, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. I want to get baptized, but I'm not sure yet. No, when you get saved, you get baptized. Go ahead and do it. Commit. Go buy a car and you say, well, just keep the tires here. I'll think about if I need them or not. You know, now if you buy a car, they don't give you a spare with that in it. You got to buy a spare separately. Isn't that crazy? And anyway. And like getting saved and not getting baptized. Like it's separate. No, it's not separate. Put it together. Yes, it's two different things, but go ahead and get baptized. Become part of what God's doing. Commit yourself. Anyway, so Philip preached, people get saved, people get baptized. And look at verse number 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. Wow, we got this guy too. We got everybody. The influencer got saved and baptized. He accepted Christ too. Why? He knew that what he was doing was just tricks. He knew he was nobody special. Even though he built himself up to be and presented himself to be, the truth is he needed Jesus just like the rest of us. He continued with Philip, and he wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. You know why? Because when Philip touched a lame man and he walked, it was real. It wasn't a trick. He touched a blind man and he saw. It was real. It wasn't a trick. The mute man that could now talk wasn't a trick. You know, we look at the miracles of Jesus and it tells us they'd been this way for 40 years or they'd been this way for decades or whatever. It was no trick. It was real. And Simon saw that Philip was healing people. He said, man, this is amazing. He starts trying to figure it all out. Verse 14. When the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So now we've got a group of people that are saved and baptized. And what do we call that? A church, right? We call that a church. People get saved and baptized, and they covenant themselves together to spread the gospel. That's called a church. And so they sent Peter and John, the apostles. I mean, you talk about a big deal. These are the guys that lived with Jesus, walked with him. One of them walked on water. One of them was at the foot of the cross, and Jesus said, take care of my mama when I'm gone. That's how important these two guys are. They go to the church. They're going to support the church and encourage the church and kind of organize and get everything together and show them, you know, these are the next steps. Disciple people. They got saved, but they didn't really know anything about God or about Jesus or about the church. So they needed to be taught. By the way, when you get saved and you get baptized, you need to get in church because you need to get taught. You know, it solves our eternal issue of being saved, but until we get discipled, until we start living according to the Word of God, it doesn't solve the daily problems. We need to solve the daily stuff too. And so they came down, verse 15, when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Again, we look at the time frame which we're talking. Jesus had told them to go into what? Go ye into all the world. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, specifically, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So this was part of the mission, the part of the plan. They, you know, the apostles had received the Holy Ghost with signs and wonders, and now this group does also. And when Simon, excuse me, when Simon saw that, he said, I got to learn how to do that. That's a neat trick. Right? That's what he said. Why? Because he was ignorant. It wasn't that he was an evil person. Guys, that's what he came from. He all he has is his experience. When people get saved, all they bring to Jesus is themselves and what they knew before. And until they get retrained, taught the Word of God, shown how to be the disciples or followers of Christ, they're not going to change. So if you get saved today and don't start reading your Bible and don't start studying God's Word, you've got the presence of God in your life. You've got eternity waiting for you in heaven. But nothing's changed on a daily basis. Your sins are forgiven, but you don't know how to live any differently. Until we get right in the Word of God and in the church and in the teaching and the discipleship and the instruction of the Word of God. How many of y'all understand that? How many of y'all are still awake? Holy cow. Simon wanted to know how to do this. Look at verse number 18. When Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. He said, hey, if you'll teach me how to do that, I will pay you. I expect to have to pay my way, but that's a pretty neat trick. I want to know how to do that. And when he said that, Peter launched into him, didn't he? Verse number 20. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Guys, giving our money does not get us closer to God. Being stewards of God's blessings on us, we're going to be accountable for it. But when these prosperity preachers say, you know, if you'll plant a seed, if you'll give, you know, a seed offering or whatever, they have all kind of different terms. If you'll give that money, then God will. Let me tell you, you cannot purchase the gift of God. God has instructions, clear instructions in His Word about how we're supposed to give and about where we're supposed to give, what we're supposed to contribute to. By the way, you notice that He said, the widows and the orphans and the strangers, those are the three that are the closest to God's heart. And if we're not doing what we can to minister to the widows and the orphans and the stranger or the traveler, those who have no defender, no one to stand up for them, no one to be the strength in their life, we're missing it. Well, he was eager, but he was ignorant. How many have ever been eager but ignorant? Come on, tell the truth. We all have. You see, we're not saying that Simon's a bad person. But he was trying to get into a position in the church that he had no right to. You see, because the apostles, the ones that walked with Jesus, laid their hands on, and these received the Holy Ghost. And now Simon, on his first day of being saved, basically, says, I want to be able to do that too. Guys, it comes with time. Our ability to minister effectively, our ability to do the will of God, it comes with our growth and our learning and our understanding of the Word of God and our understanding of God Himself. Don't expect to get saved today and baptized tomorrow and take over the next day. You've got to spend some time in church before you're ready to teach. So Peter says, verse number 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He says, Simon, something's wrong with you, man. Verse 22, repent therefore of this, thy wickedness. Pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He says, this attitude, this desire you have to be in the spotlight, this desire you have to be able to show everybody these special powers, because that's what it was about. It was about ego. It was about self and how, you know, I might use it to my own advantage. Guys, we don't use the church to our own advantage. We don't use ministry to our own advantage. It's not the way it works. But that's the way Simon looked at it. And Peter let him have it. And he says this, I perceive, verse 23, thou art in the gall of bitterness, the bond of iniquity. You see, Simon had added faith in Jesus, but he had not forsaken the world. I'm afraid that's what's happened today. A lot of people come along and they want Jesus and they want salvation. They want heaven. They want church. They want all of these blessings of God, but they don't let go of what was. They don't let go of their sin. They don't let go of the flesh. They don't let go of the world. They don't let go of the ego, the pride, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They don't let go of those things. And so they're standing on both sides. You see, Simon wanted to be saved. He wanted to be baptized. He wanted to have the Holy Spirit. He wanted to share the Holy Spirit. He wanted to be around God's folks, but he also wanted to keep doing what he was doing. And I'm telling you, that won't work. That's what he said. You are in the gall of bitterness. In other words, you're eat up inside. That's who you are. You need a personality transplant. How many of you ever met somebody who needed a personality transplant? No pointing fingers. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says if we're in Christ, we're what? We're a new creature. But Paul said, be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. He said there's some training that's got to take place. Guys, if we're going to be a great church, and if we're going to be great Christians, we've got to be in God's Word. We've got to be in God's presence. Don't expect just because you got saved, you're going to be the example of Christianity. Don't expect it to happen overnight. By the way, church, don't expect it to happen overnight. When people get saved, give them a chance to change. Give them a chance to get right. Give them a chance to get some of that stuff out of their lives. Simon had added faith, but he had not forsaken his ego or the world. He hadn't let go of sinful thinking. He needed to be a student a while. He needed to submit for a while. You see, Philip's life was changed because, or Simon's life was changed because Philip came preaching the gospel. Yeah, it took some work. It took some time. But what if Philip had never gone? Simon would have just continued his game. Simon would have just continued his monopoly of hypnotizing people. bewitching them with his craft, his craftiness. Guys, the world is so entrenched. You watch a commercial for beer or any kind of liquor. What are they selling you? A good time. Why don't they show us the person who's spent their last dime on alcohol laying in their vomit in the alleyway? Why don't they show us that? They want to show the smoke and mirrors and the trickery. Guys, I'm not saying you can't have a good time with a little alcohol in your system. I'm not saying you've never had a good time when you got drunk. I'm just telling you that's not the end of the story. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to deny that people can have a good time with alcohol. I'm just telling you that it's going to eventually going to lead to other problems. That's all. Pastor's denying that people can drink and have a good time. I'm not denying that. Just saying that's not the end of the story. And you know, Simon was having a good time just telling part of the story. Part of the story, just like the advertisers do. But eventually, the house of cards falls. I don't know what you live in. Guys, if by chance you've been pretending this whole time to be saved and you're coming to church and being a good person, but you've realized at some point you're not born again, don't live in denial. Because you could pray right now from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I believe. I know I'm a sinner and I know Jesus died for my sins. And I put my faith in you and ask your forgiveness, God. Forgive my sins and save my soul. I was about 17, riding down the road, teaching Sunday school, leading the singing in church. Good Christian, chaplain of the student body. I got to thinking, Brother Andy, I thought, you know, I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, nobody else had that thought, just me, I had it. Nobody else knew I had that thought, just me, I had it. So you know what I could have done? I could have just said, oh, sure, I'm saved, I'm a good person. But you know what I did? I prayed and I said, God, I don't know if I'm already saved, but if I am, this won't hurt your feelings. But let me just say, I trust in you. I'm a sinner. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I trust Christ as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins. And after I prayed that prayer, I've never had another doubt. Let's not live behind deception. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We're glad to be in your house with your people and thank you for the time that we've had in your word. God, we need you. The world is so full of deception. People so entrenched in their lifestyles that even when they begin to wonder if maybe something's wrong, they won't leave it. God, I pray that everyone, the sound of my voice right now, will look at their lives and be transparent to you. Surrender every aspect of our lives. Search me and try me, O Lord. See if there be any wickedness in me. Oh God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what burden you're carrying. But I can tell you, Jesus knows your need. No one has ever loved you more than Jesus. And no one could do more for you than Jesus. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. I'm glad you're here. I hope you'll come back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I don't know, did we get fixed online or not? Okay, good. And we've been having some trouble, but let me assure you of this. It is important to us that we have that online because I know that not everybody can be here every time. And so I know you depend on it, and so we are trying our best to make sure it's available to every service. Amen. All right. Yes. For Christmas, you can bring some chicken. There you go. All right. Beverly will be happy. She'll say, there's no chicken nuggets. All right. Anything else before we're dismissed? All right. I'm not going back. Be back there shaking hands, but God bless you. I love you. God, we love you, and we're thankful to be able to be here this morning, and pray you'll dismiss us now with your grace, with your blessing. Bring us back again. We can serve together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.